All right, I want to extend greetings to you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We ask that you would help us be faithful to you, that you would fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom, Father, as we walk this life. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read from Mark chapter 8. Begin in verse 31. This is just after Jesus had asked the disciples who the men and the people thought he was. And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." And then verse 30 said, and he warned them to tell no one about him. Then verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he was stating the matter plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but on man's." And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." I want to think about verse 33. "Get thee behind me, Satan, for you're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." Last night we were on the street and a man came up disputing about one of our messages. And about divorce and remarriage. And he reasoned that it was the right of someone, that if someone had done them wrong that and they were left alone, that it would be fine for them to remarry. It's just someone doing right and unjustly divorced. That it would be their right. It's just natural for them to be able to go and remarry. And we talked about this for a while with the man and tried to reason with him about what the scripture said. On the way home, one of the brothers said, "Someone must have taught him that doctrine." And I just thought about it for a minute and just thought, no. No one taught him that doctrine. This man was a Muslim, and it was just assumed that was just the way they were taught, brought up. But it's not. Just in thinking reasonably, someone that is unjustly divorced, the natural way of man would be, well, they should be allowed to go marry again. I mean, that's just the natural reasoning of man. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Not just that subject, but the whole idea of following Jesus. One time I had a message called "The Right Way, The Wrong Way, and The Cross Way." The way of the cross. And there's a way that seems right to a man, that's reasonable. It makes sense. It's the way that we would naturally, on a just level, come to a conclusion of right and wrong. And we would, if that was the only level of judgment that we were given, just someone doing right and discerning between right and wrong, if that was the only level that we had of this, that is what the world has. They have that level of just moral rightness and wrongness. Right way and a wrong way. And left to ourselves, to our own reasoning, that's the balance that man comes out with. That's why you have people in the world choosing this higher right way, wanting to live right. They don't want to hurt their neighbor. They don't want to do anything wrong to anyone else. They just want to be left alone to be able to do what's right. And people who would cause problems to that, being selfish, doing their own way, are wrong. And so that's why governments operate the way they do. Supposing that we let the right, the people who are right, doing right and doing just, we let them live their lives and we protect them from people who would do them wrong. Or, and that's why they have law, the court. Someone does you wrong, you take them to court. And the judge decides, well, yes, this man was right and this man was wrong. And so this man is assessed fines or maybe put in jail or put into prison because he's done wrong. A moral man sitting on a bench, sitting on as a judge, making decisions about this is right and this is wrong. And the higher we get on this choosing right and wrong, the higher the moral level we think we've obtained. Jesus said that he was going to be killed. He came as a king. And he came and he began to explain this. He asked his disciples, who does the world think I am? Who do the people think I am? And they explained, you know, these different things. Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah, raised from the dead. And then he said, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ. I know that you're Christ. You're the Redeemer. You're the King that's been sent to us to deliver us. And after he said that, Peter said, Jesus said to Peter, you didn't learn this on your own. God has revealed this to you. And then Peter said, after Jesus said, but the Son of Man is going to be crucified, lay in a grave 3 days, and then be risen again. And Peter said, no, that is not right. And he took him aside and he began to rebuke him. This cannot be. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. For you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but on man's. Peter judged this. Even recognizing who Jesus was, judged this on the prompting of Satan as just a matter of right and wrong. So many times, Christianity today has been turned into simply believing the facts about Jesus, that he died and rose again. And that if we just believe those things, that's what it means to believe in Jesus. But what it means to believe in Jesus is to lay aside our man's interest that Satan is glad to use of right and wrong. That's what he did with the Pharisees. He used this idea of man's moral right and wrong to discern truth or error. But Jesus said, those are the ways of Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Those are man's interest. Jesus, truly believing in Jesus, is going past those things of right and wrong and actually believing him on a higher level, a spiritual level of righteous judgments. Not just what we see, not just the little balance, you know, they have Statue of Liberty holding the balance in her hand with her eyes blindfolded, portraying that truth and justice will be just right. Jesus called us to much higher than that. A spiritual, godly level, not just man's interest. And he summoned his crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. One of the boys gave the verse. Where was your verse? Okay. Mark 10. Okay. What verse was it?
29.
All right. Here again, Peter began to say to him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. There is no one who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children. Our way of thinking is to keep all those things. That's just. That's fair. That's my right to have those things. But Jesus said, sometimes you're going to have to let those things go. The first will be last, and the last will be first. The idea that I have is following Jesus. If any man will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Sometimes, none of us are past this, thinking like men. Peter, probably one of the closest disciples to Jesus, walked with him, understood who he was, revealed who he was by God himself. Accepted who he was. Still, his thinking sometimes turned to man's ways, to the point where Jesus had to rebuke him often because he was thinking like a man instead of setting his heart on spiritual things. Sometimes I wonder, you know, what is this all about? Sometimes I don't feel, not very often do I feel like I'm a real Christian, like I want to think or like I want to feel. I don't feel that way very often. And I wonder, what is, you know, my idea of faith is someone that just never wavers, you know, and just want to be strong and always on a mountain and just charging into the war. But what is it? Is that what it takes to believe? I mean, I know we've talked about people that going into battle and they're afraid. They have fear. And the idea is there's people that just charge right into battle with no fear. They never question anything. They just run headlong right into everything. Those people are fools. A real man, a real man with courage, has fear and overcomes it and makes choices to pursue right in the face of fear, scared to death sometimes, sometimes with questions, to still press on towards his goal. Whenever everything around questions it, all of man's reasoning says, "What are you doing?" But yet, pressing on. In the teachings of Jesus, we used this about the Muslim man. You know, probably one of the things, I've shared it before, one of the things that often, I've lived single for a long time. One of the older ladies, over 100 years old, in the nursing home the other day, she just said she knows why that I live single and why. And she just said, "You have suffered long enough. God will accept you living in not... God will accept you. It's okay for you to be happy and get married. It's okay." Man's way of thinking. But Jesus said that one man, one woman, till death do us part. Man cannot understand that. Man's way of thinking doesn't understand that. It doesn't accept it. It doesn't equate on fair or equal or right and wrong. It just doesn't balance that way. Jesus goes on. Something even higher than fair. Something even higher than balanced. Christ is calling us to something higher. It don't make sense to our minds. That's why, I mean, as much as we can say and argue the reasonableness of the Scriptures in what he's asking, it doesn't balance with our sense of right and wrong. And there's a constant battle. If we're in a battle, I mean, like I said, there's people that just have all these things nailed in. They never question them, never face them, can just pursue their own form of righteousness because it's right and wrong. It's been drilled in their head all their lives that this is true, this is not, right and wrong. And never get near the cross. Never have to question and have to really face the challenge of Do I really believe this? Do I really believe this? What would I do put in a situation like that? What would I do? How would I face that? This idea of faith is not something we have all cut and dried. Faith, we walk by faith every day sometimes, deciding, this don't make sense with my thought of right and wrong. And having to choose, I am going to take Christ's road, no matter what it costs. And it's a war. We have to come down to the simple thought, the simple idea, that do I believe what Jesus said, or do I believe in this idea of right and wrong? Because sometimes there's a conflict with them. I have to choose to believe Jesus. I have to choose to believe Jesus. Sometimes that's all there is. These words that were written down so many thousands of years ago that a man said, and I have to choose against all of reasoning. This is what Jesus said, and I am going to believe Him. I'm going to choose to trust Him. That's what faith is. It's not just faith that He died and rose again. The devils have that kind of faith. It's not just a faith that right and wrong is going to prevail. The Pharisees have that faith. And I believe that's what they had. The sense of right and wrong. Just like the people that are judges making those choices, making those decisions. It would be Jesus said, don't lay up for yourselves riches on this earth. You know, our sense of right and wrong thinks that I ought to be able to live my life and make myself as comfortable as I can in this world. I have a right to build my business, to build my farm, to build my lands, to do whatever, to build my little nest to protect myself in this world. I have a right to do that. That's what everybody in the world wants. Just a comfortable place to where I can kind of have my own world surrounded here and fixed all up. But Jesus said, don't lay up your treasures on this earth. It's so easy for us to put things in the balance of my right and wrong. The interest of man on this earth. That's what all men struggle with. They want those things, whether they can obtain them or not. That's what they want. I could make a fortune. I could make a lot of money. I know how to do it. And I have to wrestle sometimes when opportunities come up to plunge myself into those things. It's fair. It's right. I can do as good a job as anybody else with some of those things. But I have to choose. Do I want that? Or do I want to follow Jesus? It gets mundane. I like to be busy. I like to be doing something productive. You know, whenever I read this book so many years ago, it wasn't even the money that I loved. It was just the being able to go out and do something big. I used to say I love to bite off more than I can chew and then chew it. That's the game. Most of the men that have a lot of wealth, it isn't the money. It's just the being able to conquer something, to be able to do something. Be able to be a man and show everybody that you can do it. That's right. That's good. But it's not Jesus. Jesus could have done anything he wanted in this world. But he came as the poorest and lived that way. He had the opportunities. He kept seeing. He saw the deals that he could have done and made money and just got bigger and bigger. Paul, there's no doubt in my mind that he couldn't have been a successful man in whatever thing he wanted. Peter, all these people, they laid it down to follow a man because they believed him. When the Bible talks about believing Jesus, it is not this simple little stupid notion that you believe he existed or that you believe he's there or you believe he died and rose again. It is laying your life, your soul, your dreams, your ambitions, everything on this man and trusting him. Jesus said, if we won't forgive, neither will you be forgiven. Turn the other cheek, he said. If someone slaps you on one face, turn the other. Justice says, the law says, that if someone's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that's fair. That's right. That's our right to do those things. But Jesus said, turn the other cheek. If someone does you wrong, forgive them. That's hard sometimes. We have someone do us wrong. And we can reason in our minds over and over again that they've done me wrong. They should pay for this. They've done me wrong. I deserve to be treated better than this. And so we chew it and we chew it and we chew it. They've failed me. I should be able to go to court and get satisfaction. That's right and wrong. And to the world, it is right. To man, it is right. To Satan's kingdom, it is right. But Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Suffer the wrong. Follow me. Why do we choose what we do? It's because we either believe right and wrong and justice, or we believe Jesus. We can build a religion and neglect everybody that doesn't agree with us, that don't understand the cross. We can just isolate ourselves. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus came and he lived and he worked with people. He didn't come to condemn. He came to teach people a better way to live. He didn't come so that we could establish a religion. He came to teach us individually to take up our cross and follow him. The Bible teaches that the women should wear coverings on their head. That they should dress modestly. Well, they look around the world and some reason that we should just all fit in. You know, you're just drawing attention to yourself dressing that way. But we believe it. So we do it. We believe that women should submit themselves to their husbands. Well, that don't fit with equal rights. That don't fit with women's rights. It just doesn't make any sense for in the balance of right and wrong for someone to submit themselves to someone else. The Bible talks about slavery. It says, be a good slave. It doesn't say, have a revolution. It says, be a good slave. Suffer where you're at. And sometimes this is hard. Just being happy where you're at when you want to do something. I know what it is. I know what it's like. It gets boring. Just seem wasting your life away when you see things you could be doing, great things you could be conquering. And you wind up just puttering around a lot of times. Just trying to find something to do to keep yourself busy sometimes. Because you believe Jesus instead of my right. Won't be understood. Won't be understood. Jesus talks about, back to forgiveness, just a little, forgiveness from the heart. You know, it's easy for us to say, I forgive you. Get way down deep in here. We still want to hold it just a little bit. It's the same way with submission. It's the same way with anything. It's more than just our mouth. It is our will. That's why Jesus, whenever he was praying in the garden, for hours, all night long, till drops of blood. That's what it took to get to his will. To say, not my will, but thine be done. That's the purpose of prayer. That's where we fail. We've got a prayer request list. We got a thank God list. We got all kinds of lists. But real prayer is praying until it goes past what the mouth says. Until your heart says amen. To his will. That's why the drops of blood fell from Jesus' face, because it wasn't an easy thing to do, even for the Son of God. Religion don't understand that. Religion has you saying the right things, appearing to have everything balanced. Everything in the appearance of righteousness. But it's dead as the scales. Jesus struggled. He struggled with doing the will of God. And you don't think we won't? This is a lifelong battle of struggles with man's ways of right and wrong. And we can get caught up in that little balance. Spend our whole life taking one little pebble from this side and going back and forth to get it all perfectly balanced in right and wrong. And it'll appear like a struggle. But it has nothing to do God's ways. That balance of right and wrong, you can see it in politics. You can see it in religion. You can see it in sports. You can see it in the cowboy movies. It's everywhere. that balance, that sense of justice. Almost all of the movies, there's a sense of justice that someone's been wronged, and you just, people just hope. That's why people watch them. Because you just see and hope that the good triumphs. And it usually does in those balances. That's another whole war unto itself. And most get caught right there. And it can take you all the way through. But Jesus talked about another war. The way of the cross. The way that doesn't fit in those scales. The way that seems silly to those scales. Seems silly to our minds. I love right and wrong. I love wanting to do what's right. And it's so easy to get caught up in that battle. That's why we don't get involved in government. I would just sometimes want to just say, hey, get behind some man that could really do things right in government. But then I have to remember to choose. My kingdom's not of this world. Sometimes I just see what needs to happen and just want to get involved in it myself. Then I have to make a choice. Is that my kingdom? Is right and wrong my kingdom? Or am I a part of the kingdom of God? Our will. It's so easy for us to surrender our will on our terms and miss God's. That takes getting down to the heart. We do these things because we truly believe what Jesus said. And it won't fit in a box of right and wrong. It's higher than that. It's making decisions to follow the Lord when it doesn't make sense to do anything like that as far as right and wrong goes. We can do whatever we want to do. We're capable of being just and right and going after this world and doing it fairly and squarely and doing it right. You know, they've got the idea that, you know, someone that is successful in this world has to claw their way to the top and stomp all people all the way. You don't have to do that. I know men who've become very successful and done it justly as far as the world's concerned. Become very successful and people look up to them, helping people. But Jesus said, don't lay up treasures. It can look real good. People can say, well, look at all the opportunities you're missing out to help people. How many opportunities did Jesus have with all his wealth to help someone? In fact, I find a lot of times people were just helping him. He did what he could, and he was real with the people he met with. It wasn't about just meeting everybody's needs. It was about showing them a new way. higher than right and wrong. A way to God. A way to Jesus. The cross. That sometimes losing is when you gain. Doesn't make sense to man. Gain all you can. When Jesus said, lose, that's the way to gain. The first shall be last, and the last first. Like I said, we're capable of being as just and fair a people as there are in this world. But we can miss it just the same. May the Lord add His blessings. It's not an easy way. It's full of pitfalls and strifes. It's full of all along the way maybe losing family, friends, brothers, sisters, that gets the way clouded and starts thinking like a man instead of like Jesus. I struggle with it every day. And I have to come to the choice. Am I going to follow me? Or am I going to follow Jesus? Am I going to continue to believe this? Or am I not? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everybody prays that. Everybody says that with their mouth. But that's a long way from the heart. Thy will be done. May we all truly say, Thy will be done. Get to that place where there's a real surrender. A real giving up to God and His way. You know, sometimes I spend a lot of time just in a suffering on my own. Kind of in a daze almost. Just going through the motions. Because I lacked getting accepting God's will. Accepting God's will for my life. It's hard to do. Just to lay down the song I used to sing or sing about, we used to sing or have sung is all my dreams. How's it go?
Wishes,
all my wishes, plans and dreams. All my I'm not even sure, goals. All of the things I wanted for my life at His feet in ashes lay. My ambitions, plans and dreams. My ambitions. It just seems like there has to be a fire pretty regular in my life to keep those things burned up, because they just keep wanting to pop up. My ambitions. And it's a struggle when they do. But to keep all of that stuff in the fire. Well, you just see something sometimes in the fire that looks so right, and you just want to reach in there and grab it and pluck it out. But to keep it there and let her burn. Let her burn. That's the crossway. Father, help us, Lord, to truly have your will and to truly be able to rejoice in your way, Lord, to be content in whatever state we find ourselves. Help us, Lord, to truly surrender those things, that our heart will rejoice in one thing and one thing only, and that is doing your will. Again, we just thank you for all the things that you give us, the life, the troubles, the things, the opportunities to offer them to you. Help us see them, Lord, and quickly give them up. Too often we struggle with those things, God. Help us. In Jesus' name. Anyone have a comment or question or something?
Securing himself as best he can, then he'll trust God.
Yeah.
because he thinks God expects him to do that. But we should trust Christ on the onset.
Right.
With everything we are and have. And that brings us along.
Amen.
I was just reminded of last week's message about having our senses exercised to discern between good and evil. And this is almost like part two of what you were talking about last week, just about the difference between discerning between good and evil and discerning between right and wrong. And well, after last week's message, I was just thinking about how hard it is to actually discern between good and evil, and how easy it is to think that it's not underestimate how big of a challenge it is, because we're so exercised in discerning between right and wrong. When a real issue of good and evil comes up, we just think it's going to be a piece of cake, but when it really comes down to it, discerning between good and evil is really difficult sometimes. Mm-hmm. It just seems like it's almost it's a real challenge when it comes down to exercising between good and evil. It's at a whole different level than just
right.
Anybody
right.
Can watch a movie and see who's the good guy and the bad guy.
Right.
But when it comes down to good and evil, it's just an amazing.
Amen.
Really, it's a whole different struggle than just sitting and watching a cowboy movie.
Right. Just thought of Jeremiah. He told the people to surrender to the king that was taking over Jerusalem. And Jerusalem said, "We're fighting, we're fighting, we're fighting." And God was telling them, "Surrender to him, submit to him. That's what I want." But they were fighting. They were fighting. They had right and wrong. They had law. They had the book. They had everything. And they fought and died. And even up until Brian shared with a while back about the destruction of Jerusalem, they could have surrendered and been given liberty. But they fought this battle of right and wrong until Jerusalem was completely, the whole thing was completely destroyed. But the ones who gave up that right and wrong battle and fought the battle between good and evil, the true good and evil, won. Couldn't find it in the church or in the Jerusalem. Right.
I mean, he had that spirit.
Right.
Of submit.
Right. Amen. Willing to die for it. All right. Anyone else have anything? All right, well, we'll meet back here at 6, Lord willing, here.
Unless you're doing it.
Well, I mean, are you thinking at your house?
No, I just thought of it all of a sudden.
Oh.
But plan on here.
Okay, plan on here. Okay, well, God bless you.
Somebody else.